Hello, patrons. Welcome to yet again a familiar spot on the Court of Swords. We're doing character creation. This time, however, really? It's not because these people died. It's because no, they want
a good kind of character creation.
Yeah, they want to check some other stuff out while we do kind of some side story stuff in the Court of Swords. Zeke's not here because he's currently Burning Man, so he probably looks much like he does in the current photo. And he'll be. We were talking before the show. Max is going to Gamescom. We'll just put this out here now before we make like an official tweet. So we might not play till the 4th, and because it would be silly to do 4 hours with Zeke, without Zeke, and then the next week have to somehow bring Zeke back into that, unless he's just like, hey, Zeke met you in this town, so
shows up.
Yeah. So we might do that or we might not. Most likely the next episode will be the 4th. But there might, we might do a show the week before. We'll see. We'll see. But for now, Dan and Max are going to be playing some new characters. Also, Adam is here. Say hi, Adam.
Yes. Hi. Hello. Yeah. It's me.
Adam's
waved,
here.
But there's no point.
His camera's a little bit ratty and, I'm wearing a green shirt. So, you know, this is basically all you're going to get on a Friday.
Welcome to informal character creation.
It's just
kind of here. We didn't want to spend 4 hours fixing shit right now, so we're just gonna. This is what you get.
Yeah,
that's
how it's done. So I guess I don't. Where do you guys? Where do we begin? Do you kind of know what we're doing yet, Adam?
Yeah. So I've been waiting to do, and actually this works okay. Like if we take the extra time to do the show, I will do some kind of like official prep stream between now and then. But for now, I've got a few like bits and pieces of ideas. Like JP, you and I talked a little bit about kind of what EOG wanted to do.
Right.
And Zeke wanted kind of to follow along with you. But I've been given pretty much free rein to kind of decide where we are.
Yeah.
And I imagine, at least at the start, and we can talk about this either during or before or after or all of them during like character creation. I imagine that the new characters, like Dan and Max's new characters, will be either like mercenaries you've hired to like accompany you to this dangerous place you're going, or they can be tied in kind of in other ways, or both, right? They could be like people that just came along and then found out that there's more to it than they thought.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that'll be, I kind of like doing the organic approach where I have some ideas, and then as you guys make your characters, we try to find ways to fit them in, and then you have stuff you want, and then I'll kind of build on that too with your goals and everything. So
yeah
so I guess we can, I mean, we can start like we usually do and just talk about like, well, what kind of like class and race do you want to play, because you're both gonna be making level 8 characters. And so you can be like all one thing, you could multi-class, you'd be like level 4 or 4 or 5 3 or something. There's lots of options. The party has, have we ever officially said what your character is, JP, or do you just want to keep not doing
it? Hold on. it does say ranger.
Okay. So we have a ranger of some variety.
It does say ranger.
Yeah. So we have a ranger and we'll have our bard rogue. So there's lots of room for other stuff. What do you guys feel like playing? What's calling out to you?
I was kind of thinking of playing either like some sort of spellcaster in terms of like either being a sorcerer or a wizard, because I haven't done that in a while. I think the last time I did that was Shalbaz, which is a long time ago.
Yeah.
That might be fun to play a different spin on a wizard. I'll think about further like what I want to do, but
Sorcerer or wizard, that'd be cool. Yeah. Dan, what about
that's
you?
Kind of where I'm floating around. I'm kind of attacking it a little more free flow, I think, than Dan. Dan usually has a pretty well thought out plan.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So, if you want to, what your idea is?
Yeah. I was wanting to do my first multi class character, which is
nice.
I want to do the first level of warlock and then the rest in bard.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So a bard, and that kind of works with some of the stuff that JP, normally like warlocks aren't really on the table, but I could see fitting like a level in. Do you have a particular like pact of warlock that you were thinking, or like kind of an angle for that you were aiming at?
The new one that was in the new book, the Hexblade, and then going swords.
Okay. Nice. And
the character would be like a Tiefling. So the Tiefling is like their warlock part of it.
Right. So it's more like a natural, like rather than you sought out power, it was just you were born with something else's influence. Yeah,
there's a little something there.
Okay. Yeah, I feel that. That's cool. What book is Hexblade in?
That is in.
Is that in Sword Coast?
Xanathar's.
I think. Xanathar's.
Okay. Still gotta get that book.
Also,
grab mine. Hold on.
Because I know someone's gonna point out. I believe it's Tiefling.
Sorry,
Tiefling.
Just I know.
Tiefling. Wow, way to point out Dan's in his speech there. They really truly hate Dan on the show. Good God.
Yep. It's true.
Okay, I got it here. So the Hexblade refers to a mysterious entity from the Shadowfell, which is in D&D, it's like, so you'll have like a magic sword basically that is like cursed by some kind of arcane intelligence. The Shadowfell is a place of like darkness and negative energy. So it could be like one of the more death obsessed Mara. It could be like a necromantic power. It could just be like a god, one of the gods, like a celestial entity, one of the gods of like of death that's made a pact with you, like a servant of death. But that's the general theme, right? The Shadowfell is like gloom and darkness, shadowy force behind a weapon. That seems pretty cool. I like that. And it's like a fighty type of a warlock.
Yeah, very melee focused.
Totally. Yeah, I dig it. So that would give you Hexblade's Curse and Hex Warrior, which are basically all just like, yeah, you increase your chance to crit or you gain a bunch of proficiencies in like weapons that normally a warlock wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Hexblade. What a cool name. Okay. And then like as you level up, so you form pact with the entity through your weapon and it's not like a god where you pray for stuff. So I feel like you would just kind of be separated from this entity. Were you thinking that whatever the thing was that empowered your weapon is also like part of your parentage, like why you're a tiefling?
Yeah, it's like it explains like something maybe happened to my mother or she made a pact where her daughter would be part of, as I'm playing, she's going to be a woman. The tiefling, like her child was like somehow cursed to have part of this entity in its blood.
Nice. Okay. Like that. So maybe, and JP, like I think you're probably hearing some stuff that twigs with what we were talking about. I think that maybe your character, Dan, and Yoji have like a connection through Yoji's past. Like maybe you know each other from a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I think there's definitely some room there.
I can definitely like float you the character in a sense.
If you want to share, because I know you want to keep it kind of on the DL, because we want to reveal some of the stuff through play. But if you want to talk to Dan about a little bit of that backstory stuff, then that's great. Sense. Yeah, because I think there's definitely some room for your character to fit in there, Dan. That's great. Okay.
What cool. You're going tiefling?
Yeah, tiefling.
Okay. Yeah, I'll message you on Skype or something with a bunch of information.
Okay. Cool. I like it. Cool.
Story-wise, at least, like lore-wise, then not the player character, etc.
I'll tell you exactly how to make
this. Man, you need tiefling. And,
I'm making your character now, so just move over.
Yeah, just sit there quietly and don't say anything.
Make sure you don't buy any steel. The character wouldn't wear it. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay, so let me. I'll turn on your second class. I'll turn on Bard here, and you're going to be level 7 Bard.
Seven level Bard, one. Yeah.
And what subclass do you want to be for Bard?
Same book, College of Swords.
Nice. That's badass. All right, cool. And Hexblade Warlock, College of Swords Bard. And you're a tiefling. Did you want to use any of the subrace tieflings from Mordenkainen's? Have you seen those? There's a bunch of like new options for tieflings.
Looking through there, and I don't know, nothing really jumped out at me too much.
Just more of a generalist tiefling, you think?
Yeah. Normal tieflings give you, like, let's take a look at at the stuff for tieflings. So normally tiefling traits are bonus to intelligence of 1, bonus to charisma of 2, dark vision, hellish resistance, so resistance to fire, the thaumaturgy cantrip, hellish rebuke, and darkness, because you're high enough level, and you'll speak common and infernal. And then the options for the other tieflings, obviously we changed the names because there's no Demo Gorgon or whatever in this universe. But they basically represent like a specific demonic entity, which changes your stuff. So it would be like Thaumaturgy, Ray of Sickness, and Crown of Madness for Beelzebub. Or
I found the pages.
Disguise self or detect thoughts for Dispater. So it looks like it really basically just changes your like abilities. My spells and
the stat bonus. Yeah.
Some of them have a different stat bonus. Yeah, charisma 2, wisdom 1, and then friends, charm person, and suggestion. Ooh, that's pretty cool. Fierna's pretty neat.
Yeah,
you got lots of options. You don't have to pick those right now, because I'll talk to Max a little bit about what he wants to play, and then you can take a look at those while we're doing that.
Okay.
So Max,
you're
picking Sorcerer.
I just want to do something different that I haven't done before. I haven't played any. I mean, I have played.
Chavez was a wizard, right?
Yeah. Part of me also was taking a look at Druid as well. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting.
The druids in Court of Swords are like worshippers of the old gods, the spirits of the earth. They don't get their power from heaven. Draw it from the fountain by way of the inhabitants of the world.
That would also fit into some lore stuff. So
yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking initially, like sorcerer or wizard or whatever, but I've already done a wizard. I've never played druid, and I think it'd be kind of fun to do.
As a druid, you're sub. You're thinking probably like just straight up like 8 levels of druid.
Straight up druid, unless there's unless you think of something that I'm obviously not familiar with the mechanical stuff.
Yeah, I'll give you your option. So when you hit level 2, you pick a circle. The circle and all that stuff, right? Yeah. No, so these ones are. Like the type of druid. So there are 4 of them now. There's 2 in Xanathar's and 2 right here. So Circle of the Land, which is the like spell casting kind of druid, right? Mm-hmm. So you get more spells, and less the shape-shifting type of druid. Then Moon is the other one. Moon is more shape-shifting, less magic. And then in Xanathar's, there's Circle of Dreams, which is kind of more connected to the it's like a slightly healery druid. You get like a font of energy to heal. So if you're looking to replace Ramus as more like healing focused druid, Circle of Dreams has that. And then at level 6 you would get the Gloaming Court, which allows you to you remember Selihafa's spell, the like hut protecting spell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like that. It's called Hearth of Moonlight and Shadow, and basically it means that within a 30-foot radius, you get a benefit to stealth and wisdom. Light from inside the sphere is not visible outside of it, so it's basically you're give everybody an opportunity to rest better.
Yeah.
And then Balm of the Summer Court gives you a bunch of D6s that you can imbue other people with to heal them. Basically like a non-spell healing ability as a bonus action. So it's like Healing Word, but better, because you have a pool that you can throw at people with like summer energy.
Do we have any sort of healing right now? No, we don't, right?
Bards get some healing stuff.
We got 2 bards. Yeah, we have.
Yeah, you have 2 bards. So the other option,
you know what?
So you've got land, you've got moon, you got dreams, and the other one is the shepherd. So the shepherd gets speech of the woods. So it's an ability that allows you to like talk to animals, basically. And then you can make friends, and then you get a spirit totem, so you can be a druid of the bear, which gives you temporary hit points, and you create an aura. Hawk spirit, which gives you you let other people have advantage with your reaction if they're within a certain distance of you, so you lend your accuracy to them. Or you could be a spirit totem of the unicorn, which we change into the Kyrian. Because there aren't any like regular type unicorns here, but basically it gives you protection for everybody. So gives them advantage on ability checks to detect hidden creatures and any hit points that you restore within your aura, you give more. And then you also get, for this one at level 6, the creatures you summon are better. So Circle of the Shepherd is kind of like if you want to use Conjure Animal or whatever and then throw those guys. Like if you want to have pets, like temporary pets, summoning spells. So like summon a bunch of crocodiles or a bear or whatever to go fight for you.
That could be kind of fun.
Yeah, so you got lots of options.
Something, if you go that though, that means you have a shit ton of pets to keep track of.
Yeah, and I mean, I can set them up in Roll20 and just drag and drop them, and we'll have them assigned to you. It's sort of the same as shapeshifting. It will take a little bit of extra effort, but I can prep for that. But that is a good point, JP. Yeah, you'll have to make more choices in combat because you'd be like, all right, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna get them to do that. It's a little less direct control.
Yeah.
So So it's like spell casting, like generic spell casting, shapeshifting, healing, or summoning, essentially. As your specializations.
Yeah. I feel like healing's probably out because, like you said, we already have two of those. Mm-hmm. We want to have something that brings something else to the group. Just trying to eliminate them right now in my mind. I want to do spell casting, but it's also kind of like then it's like everyone else is already like there's already spell casting that's happening a lot. You know what I mean?
It's way less significant now than it would have been, you know, 50 episodes ago, right? Like it's okay to not have the party be universally like balanced for all class types. You can if you want to be a spellcaster, man. We'll have lots of magic.
Yeah. Summoning animals sounds cool, but it does also like you make a good point with that. I have to keep track of all the different like pets and stuff and
Cool. So what are you thinking? You're thinking probably Circle of the Land for spells?
It's a combination between mechanically, like what kind of stuff do I want in terms of like being able to throw spells and stuff would be cool, but also like being able to create a character around like changing into, you know, beast forms and stuff like that would be really, really fun.
Shapeshifting. So balance wise, druids start off really strong, like shapeshifting druids start off really strong, but by the time you reach level 8, it's like flattened out because I can deal a bunch of damage. But I mean, if you want to like be able to,
still ramps up kind of deal.
Yeah. It continues to ramp up. Yeah. So when you choose, if you choose like Circle of the Land, you would pick where you're from, like Arctic, coast, desert, forest. And then like a cleric, you get additional spells. So like a swamp druid gets darkness and acid arrow, stinking cloud, like swamp spells.
I think you would also get,
So you want to go Circle of the Land.
Yeah. The other ones sound cool, but I haven't done like proper like spellcaster in a long time.
I mean, if you're gonna be you know, playing something you haven't played before, whatever you pick is gonna end up being like kind of interesting. So Dan, did you decide what kind of tiefling you wanna be?
Yeah, the Glacia. Let's see, the one that gives 22.
Yeah, Glacia, Hell's criminal mastermind. So you would get minor illusion, disguise self, and invisibility.
Yeah.
And then you get a +2 charisma and +1 dex.
We're going to be best friends, Dan. It's going to be great.
Yep.
That's awesome. I love the idea of, you being the child of like Amara or Amara's like lieutenant that is obsessed with like theft and stealing and like crime. That's really cool.
Yeah, my idea for her, she's like she seduces people a lot using charms and just her beauty to lure them into places, then rob them or con them.
My immediate
And then if she gets in trouble, she can fight.
My immediate question is, Dan,
what
have our characters hooked up in the past?
Oh my god, Dan! Yeah, Dan, is your character Yoji's ex girlfriend? Yeah. Oh my god, that's so good. Cool. Something if to so, ponder.
Don't reveal the answer to that. Yeah, we'll save it for the show. That'll be fun.
That'll be sweet. Okay. All right. Cool. So yeah, I like the idea of that of having like being a Glacia tiefling and you're a hexblade. Yeah, getting use of these supplements. Okay. Cool. So let's talk. Let's figure out race for Max, and then we'll talk about rolling stats and all that shit. So Max, for races. Do you know? Do you have a thought of what race you want to be yet, or do you, what should we talk about your options?
Let's talk about the options. Like I said, this I kind of I wanted to freeform it. I'm not like Dan, and no offense to Dan, because obviously you're really effective in doing all that stuff. For me, I try to like just mold the character around, just
feel it out as you go.
What we end up with. I mean, look at Berg, right?
Right.
So your options for races are you could be a dwarf, be a hill dwarf or a mountain dwarf. You could be a halfling, you could be a human, always a safe choice. You can be a dragonborn like Kalimat, but maybe like a different color, whatever. You could be a gnome if you really wanted to. You could be a half elf. I think you don't want to be another half orc because we played that game.
I want to be another orc.
Yeah, half elf. You could be a tiefling like Dan. And then there's some other options in the new stuff that we can talk about. So like in Xanathar's. Yeah, in Xanathar's you can be you can be a Triton. You could be a Tabaxi, which you've already been. You could be a lizard folk, you could be a Kenku, which we've seen, which is like fine if you want to play another one. You could be a Goliath or a Firbolg, or you could be an Azamar, which doesn't really fit with the druid, but it's an option.
Yeah.
And then lastly, there's some in Mordenkainen's, some stuff we haven't seen yet. So there are a couple of new kinds of, technically they're elves, but I'd bend them. So let me find those and we'll talk about them, because I think some of these might fit for you, but I'll let you make that call. So there are Eladrin. So Eladrin technically are a kind of elf in this, but in our game, they're more like, and you could also be Genasi. Genasi are like fire, earth, air, and water. Like the step between humans and angels, essentially. So like ascended elemental humans. So that's an option. But then these are, the Eladrin are kind of like Genasi, but instead of for elements, they're for seasons. So there are autumn, winter, spring, and summer Eladrin. So they get abilities like that. And then there are Shatterkai. And the Shatterkai are, and this is kind of like a tie, this would be like a tie to Dan's character. The Shatterkai are, in our setting, they would be humans who have been influenced by the void, essentially, places of shadow. Technically, in the game, they're from the Shadowfell, which would be the same place that Ramus's entity is from. But in this case, a Shatterkai would be like a human who's been influenced by the powers of darkness. And so essentially they get a brief, as a bonus action, they can teleport 30 feet. And then they have resistance to damage for a turn after they teleport. So they become ghostly and translucent. So they're kind of like half ghosts. Yeah. And so in this case, you could go so far as to be like, my character is like the son of a living woman and a ghost man, right? Like somehow a ghost like impregnated my mother. You're like half dead, basically.
Yeah.
Humans cursed by the shadow or like whatever. They're like, yeah, half ghosts or half dead. Or you can be one of the seasonal Eladrin as an option. There's also like another kind of dwarf that I don't think really fits for druids. And then there's the Gith, Zerai and the Gith Yankee. But they're like exceedingly rare and more like kind of wizard type stuff. But yeah, I don't know. What are you thinking? What are you feeling for this option here? Oh, and I guess there's monsters too, if you want to be like a hobgoblin or something. Let me see what your monster options are. I forgot that those are a thing in Volos. You could also be a goblin or what else? A bugbear, a goblin, a hobgoblin, a kobold, a pure orc, or a Yuan-Ti. So those are all options too.
When did they change that where you can just be goblins?
No, it was in Xanathar, so it's been around for a little while. Goblins get +2 dex, +1 con, and dark vision, and an ability called Fury of the Small, which is when you damage a creature with an attack or a spell and they're larger than you, you can cause the attack to deal extra damage equal to your level once per short rest.
I feel like I felt that enough fighting goblins.
And you can take disengage or hide as a bonus action on your turn. So they're hard to pin down.
Yeah. It's uncool. I think I have an idea for a character already. I'm probably going to go gnome.
You go with forest gnome?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right.
The other ones sound cool, but I was thinking about like how the, I already, you know, I'm starting to get an idea for how I want to play him and kind of start to hear a voice too in my head.
Yeah. 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 So we'll see. We'll see how different this forest gnome is from the one other forest gnome we've ever seen before. So we, either a sharp contrast or
there might be similarities.
Yeah, we'll get a compliment too. Okay,
it won't sound like this.
All right, so forest gnomes, so they're super rare. You would be like away from your home in the Shulin Valley, and maybe you don't even know that there are other gnomes out there, but you're a member of a dying species, and that's pretty cool. Okay, so you're a forest gnome.
Yeah, that might give us some ties to go back to Emix and them as well with Max's character. Being a druid and whatnot.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Dope. All right, cool. Good. So
I've never played a gnome too.
Let's see. So character creation, we'll go through the steps here for doing that. Creating a character. I haven't done this in a little while. There we go. So you've chosen your race and subrace. Does anybody want to roll stats and assign them, or do you want to just assign the ones you got? What do you think?
I'll roll.
Brave?
I'm going to roll as well.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I'm gonna get over my fear. Let's do it. Better for worse.
All right, so you've chosen your race, you've chosen your class. Now we roll for your business. Okay, so if you're rolling, I believe it's 4d6. Take the top three. You do that six times. So
just do 46d1. Yeah.
Yeah, 46k3. Yeah, or d1. And Dan or Max, who wants to go first? Or I guess we could go back and forth for each stat. Yeah, you don't have to assign them.
Let's go back and forth. Yeah, let's go back and forth.
All right. I think that's more interesting.
So Max, you go first.
All right, what am I typing in? You just said 40.
Slash R space 4d6 K3. And it'll keep the best three of four.
Good luck.
Great.
Oh,
boom.
Nice.
All right. So you start. So you get 17 for your first one.
Crush it.
Okay. All right, you got 13 for Ramus. I guess whoever Ramus is gonna be, Dan. Going
stat for stat.
Yeah, they're gonna go one and one. And this isn't like, it's not like Stars of the Number where that's your strength, but that's the first stat.
Right.
You got.
Right.
Okay. All right. 17, 13. Yeah. Max has the lead.
Go ahead. Oh.
Okay. All right.
You just had to say something.
Ramus with down another we go. 13.
All right. Ramus, so Dan slightly higher than average so far. All right. Max, your turn.
Hey,
yeah, there you go. Okay, good.
The swingiest character. And then, dude, this is going to be the swingiest with the most balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Slightly higher. Yeah,
here we go.
Okay. Okay, back down in the middle. Yep.
All right.
And how many we got now? So that's three, one, three. Two,
four.
Three. That's four. So, so two more times each. So, Max.
Dude.
Okay.
Oh, baby.
This motherfucker. Let's go.
Okay. Another 13.
Get too excited. Okay. Is this the last one, is it?
All right. Last one. Yep.
Right. I'm okay with this.
Not bad, dude.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ramus got the most middling stats I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. 17. Seven.
Okay.
17.
So I'm going to add them up. So Max got a 17 because I need to know. Plus a 7. Another 17.
Dan might win.
10.
10, a 16.
16, and then a 12.
And a 12. Okay, so you got 79 total points. And then Dan got, 13, 14, 10. Let's see, it's 14 plus.
Really happy with that.
Yeah, those are some 10, good stats. This character will probably 10, die pretty quick.
23, 33, 47, 60, 73. There you go.
76 for 73?
Even not pretty good. Yeah.
Very flat stats.
Turns out that's how D6s work. Okay. So you're gonna add you can put these in wherever you want. Obviously, Dan, charisma and dex are gonna be your big ones. For you, Max, wisdom is your biggest one. Because most of your spell stuff comes from there.
And then, those 17s will probably go in there.
Yeah. So assign your stuff, and then keep in mind that it's gonna get adjusted. So like Dan, you get what, +2 charisma, +1. Mm-hmm. So you'll end up with what, 16 charisma and 14 dex?
Yep.
Okay, cool. That sounds good. And then Max, yeah, you can kind of spread yours out. After that, you're gonna get a bonus as a gnome to intelligence and dexterity. So you get a +2. Whatever you put in your intelligence will go up by 2, and then your dex goes up by 1.
Okay.
Yeah. So you'll end up with a decent armor class regardless, which is nice. High dex is like, I would suggest putting, because you got 2 17s, right?
Yeah, one of the 17s.
I'd suggest going wisdom and dex.
Yeah.
For those
wisdom and you said wisdom. I thought you said charisma. Never mind. 17. I wasn't gonna roll, but then as you asked the question, I started like, you know what? And then Dan's like, I'm gonna roll. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm so scared of rolling. I've had been burnt so many times.
Well, I'll wait till we get to hit points.
Yeah, right.
What's the 7 going in?
Yeah, where's your 7? What's the thing you're the worst at? Is it gonna be charisma?
No.
No, you know what I mean? An uncharismatic gnome? I mean, strength probably, right?
Like, probably, yeah.
That's likely the least valuable thing for you.
Yeah, I think we'll put it in strength.
Okay. That sounds good.
Strength. But he's not meant to be strong, so.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Cool.
Tired of playing character. Well, not tired of, but like, you know, I don't want to play a character that's 1 dumb or 2 can't speak very well.
Yeah, right. That's cool. You can be a likable forest gnome. That'd be a first. Okay. Cool. I'll put in some of your abilities there for being a gnome. So as a forest gnome, you're going to get, let's see, natural illusionist. Nice. And you can cast a minor illusion basically as an action as part of your there. So gnome level 1. Cool. You'll also get speak with small beasts, which lets you talk to all kinds of small animals.
I'll probably put that 16 in con because that's always important.
Yeah, totally. That's helpful. All right. And yeah, you get your dexterity improved by 1, and then you get your regular gnome stuff. So let's see. What else do gnomes... I haven't played a gnome in a while. What else do gnomes get?
Dex? Is that...
Yeah. I'm looking for other gnome traits. Here they are. So your other gnome. Yeah. So you're going to get your +2 intelligence, +1 dex for being a forest gnome. Your size is going to be small. So that's important to note. And you also, your speed is going to be lower because you're little. Your speed's only 25.
So when he shapeshifts, does that change the shapeshifts or does he just somehow
grow? Just in his gnome form, he's small, but yeah, he can turn into things like normal size. Yeah.
I can't wait till he like turns into something. Cause it's one thing to see like, oh, you know, a 6-foot human turns into a tiger. Oh yeah. Here's a 2-foot gnome turns into an elephant. Don't know how that makes sense.
D&D is like Transformers that way, in that it does not care about a law of conservation of mass.
Right,
you can just turn into whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
Cool. So
I got the pluses again for the stats, just so I can get them adjusted.
+2 intelligence, +1.
I just add that to the, okay, plus two to intelligence, so that bumps it up to 14. Mm-hmm. One, two, what was the other one?
Oh, that was weird. What was that?
That was cool. That was
creepy. What happened?
He turned into Satan for a really second. Scary. The Dark Lord joined us.
What are you guys talking about?
Okay.
What was the plus one?
The plus one is dex. Plus two intelligence, plus one dex.
Sick.
Yeah,
four.
There you go.
Yeah, four dex.
All right.
Modifier good. Four. That's a pretty damn good looking character.
Yeah, right. You're
all well. So you
natural illusionist, speak with small beasts, gnome cunning, and dark vision. Pay special attention to gnome cunning because it's advantage on intelligence, wisdom, and charisma saves against magic. So you have to remember that you have that because I
definitely okay. Don't. That'll be nice.
Help you
whenever we try to get, charmed or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Any kind of like will or like possession or anything like that. Yeah. Right? As long as it's against
magic. It'll be quite a switch to be like, oh no, I'm not susceptible.
Yeah, I definitely won't be trying to charm you. It'll be other people. Okay, great. And so Dan, I saw you're recording all your stuff. What stats did you end up with, Dan? What's your spread?
10 strength, 14 dex, 13 con, 10 intelligence, 13 wisdom, and 16 charisma.
Nice. Excellent. Okay, cool. We'll do the first level stuff for your classes. So did you take are you going to do your warlock class first, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's warlock first, and then you'll level up as a bard from there. Okay. All right. So first level as a druid, Max, you get, let's see here, first level, where's that little table? You're going to get druidic spell casting. So that means you're going to get to use whenever you need to cast a spell, it's on the spells page in your character sheet. It's like top right corner where it says core. Yeah, you can flip that back and forth between spells. Yep. Okay, so we won't worry about what spells you have right now because we'll wait till you level up. Because you'll end up with you'll know three cantrips, and then you can cast four first level, three second, three third, and two fourth level spells. So at some time between now and when we play, sit down and familiarize yourself with all of the druid spells. Because
there's also a lot of if you don't want to just read the book, there's a lot of good resources on the internets that'll just like, hey, here's every sixth level spell that you could get. Instead of, hey, here's every sixth level spell in D&D.
There's some good threads out there too about like what spells are good and what spells are underpowered and kind of however you want to like look at that. You can theorycraft as much as
that you've used before. Feel free to link me. But I'll look myself if not.
At first level, and some of this stuff we're going to elide. Like I'm not going to make you pick all your spells on stream. I'm not going to like make you buy gear or whatever. You'll do that yourself. But I will, we will look at your initial kind of stuff. So you are proficient as a druid in light armor, medium armor, and shields, but you can't use armor or shields that are made out of metal. So that's a thing. You're proficient in a whole bunch of like a weird list of weapons, which I'll add to your character sheets, but they include
seeing that clubs, daggers, include, darts.
Yeah. Just a bunch of miscellaneous weird druid stuff. I'll add more.
He might not be able to use a lot of that stuff though, because of his gnomeness, like a scimitar. I'm not sure if he can wield one.
Aside from like, cause you're small, I think aside from like a very few weapons in this version of the game, you're pretty open for what you can use.
I like his gnomeness.
His royal gnomeness. So you'll get a proficiency in an herbalism kit. Herbalism kit at first level. So there you go. Boop. All right, cool. And then we've already got your saving throws. All right, choose two of these skills. You ready? Arcana, animal handling, insight, medicine, nature, perception, religion, survival.
Choose two of them.
Two of those. Yep.
You said perception is one of them?
Yep. I'm gonna take that one.
Well, I'm looking at my things right now. What am I, you shitty?
Yeah, you'll get some more from your backgrounds.
Yeah, I'll throw 1 and 2 perception.
Okay.
And one more. And throw 1 into Arcana.
Nice. Okay. Cool. So you know some stuff about magical shit. Okay. For gear, we're gonna skip the first level equipment, and I'm just gonna give you a bunch of shit and like a couple of like minor magic items to kind of get you started. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about gear right now. You also get access to the language of druids. You speak druidic, which is like a special language. Sense. Yeah, they have their own. It's kind of like thieves' cant, but for druids. Secret language of druids. You can use it to leave secret messages, and then you get spell casting, and that's your first level stuff. I don't think, or you get shape shifting at first level. I can't remember. Maybe you
get second.
Yeah, no, second level.
Second, yeah.
All right, so we'll get there. All right, so druid level 1 spell casting. I forgot about that. I thought you got that stuff at first.
Druid level 1 is pretty boring.
Yeah, it super is. Like, cool, cast Shillelagh. Cast Shillelagh again. Hit the wind. Yeah. Okay, great. So Dan, as a Hexblade, your stuff is like a little different. I've never played with a Hexblade before. What do you get at first level?
Let me double check again.
Your magic
first
item,
level, right? I get Hexblade's Curse, where I can, as a bonus action, target a creature, and then I have an increased chance to crit them, and if they die, I gain health back, and I can only use it once per short rest.
Nice.
And I get bonus damage equal to my proficiency to the target.
Cool.
And then. Yeah, that's good. Hex Warrior, I get training in medium armor, shields, and martial weapons. And my weapon, which I can swap in and out. Instead of using dexterity or strength, I use charisma for the attack on it.
That's so cool. Hexblade weapon. You're like, yeah, I'm just really charismatic, and I'm going to use that to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, I hit you with a sword, and it hurts real bad because I'm so pretty.
What's that?
I love it. It's really good. Cool. Okay. I think the other really important thing before we kind of like do like level ups and stuff is backgrounds. So everybody's going to choose, you're both going to choose a background for your character. You should be able to maybe look this up in, they'll be in the player's handbook for sure.
Yeah. We also have it in the compendium, right?
Yeah, and I've added them. You should have access to my like PHB because I have the PHB in Roll20. So let me see.
Background. If I can there it is.
But yeah, so this will give you more skills, and I don't think there's any new backgrounds in any of this other
stuff. I'm gonna be a druidic pirate.
I mean, you could have been a pirate. That's cool. I'm okay with that. Yeah. So what do you think, Dan? Do you know what you want your background to be?
Yeah, I think charlatan.
Ah, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. There you go. Everything working good. All right, cool. Do you know what you want to do, Max?
The hermit.
Yeah, hermit's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna go hermit.
Okay, so the hermit will give you 2 more proficiencies. So tick medicine and religion.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Ooh, character sheet. Medicine.
And I think, and it's been a long time since I made characters. If a proficiency comes up and you already have it, because herbalism kit is a hermit one. Do you remember what, Dan, do you remember what that does? Like if you double up on a proficiency in your background?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember either. Yet, yeah. Let me look. I'll just go back to the character creation thing because it'll mention it. Step by step characters. Here we go. Okay, so when you're doing your background, your ability scores, describe your character, visibility. Let's see, record this information. Of course, it doesn't just say it here. Choose equipment, weapons. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say. Well, I'll let you pick like a different tool proficiency. So tool proficiencies, here are your options. Pick one of these because you already have herbalism kit. Let's see here. Tools. Artisan's tools of some kind. Disguise kit. Forgery kit. A gaming set. A musical instrument. Navigator's tools. Poisoner's kit. Or thieves' tools. I'll let you just pick one. What do you think? What do you think, Max?
I thought you were talking to Dan.
No, and you, dude.
Say it again. Sorry, my bad.
I guess it also applies to Dan if somehow you double up on proficiencies, but I don't think you do. Artisan's tools. So there's a whole bunch, like alchemist or brewer or cobbler or whatever. Disguise kit. Forgery kit. A gaming set. So like dice, chess, cards.
Right.
You already have herbalism. A musical instrument. Navigator's tools. Poisoner's kit. Or thieves' tools. Or I guess a vehicle.
I'm going to go with disguise kit.
Okay. Yeah, because you're, I mean, yeah, exactly. Because you're a forest gnome, right? And nobody knows what those are. And some, maybe you have to hide the fact that you're a gnome by like dyeing your hair and beard and pretending you're a halfling or whatever. Yeah, okay. So you're proficient in that. We'll create the attribute. Okay, great. So you have herbalism disguise kit. And then you also, as a hermit, will get, let's see. You're gonna get some additional, like, again, gear that you can just ignore. I think maybe a few more languages. Let's see.
I like being able to speak with small beasts.
Yeah, you get any.
It's not like full-on conversations, but
any one language of your choice.
Any one language.
Yeah, any language. Because you already speak Common, Gnomish, and Druidic. You could speak Sylvan, which is like the language of forest creatures. You could speak Primordial, which is like the language of elementals.
Yeah. What language? What
you could speak language Dwarven. Dwarven's useful.
You speak BOG.
Celestial. Is it Fiend, Adam? What's the?
Infernal.
Infernal.
Infernal is the language of hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
I speak Infernal. Fairly, like,
you want to speak Infernal?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm excited to learn how the hell you...
Exactly. Yeah. I'm looking for a reason why.
Why do you speak hell language? That's cool. Okay. All right. And then again, you get some equipment, but you'll get a bunch of money to buy equipment instead. Okay. Yeah. And then you get a feature called Discovery, which you, maybe you and JP, or you actually, it might be cool to have you and Zeke connected. So your Discovery could be a Discovery about the Dragonborn or about the dragons. Okay. Because which actually might make Draconic a better choice for language if you want to go that way. There's still time to like mess with stuff, but so your quiet seclusion of extended hermitage give you access to a unique and powerful discovery. The exact nature depends on the nature of your seclusion. It might be a truth about the cosmos, the gods, powerful beings of the outer plane, forces of nature. It could be a place no one's ever seen before. It could be a fact long forgotten or an unearthed some relic to rewrite history. It might be information that might be damaging to the people who consigned you to exile. Maybe that's the reason you come back. You can think about this and then I will fit it into the world and you can reach out to JP or Zeke if you want to like work with them to figure something out.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll work out what that is. Okay. I will add that. So Discovery. What's the charlatan background feature?
Dan? The big one is I have a false identity. I can forge official looking documents as long as I've seen them and I can copy them pretty much spot on.
So yeah, so what I'll get you to do is just like tell me your character once you've like finished, once we're done all this between now and the next session, tell me your character's like fake name and identity and what people think that you are, and then we can kind of detail that. You'll have lots of people come up to you and be like, hey, not your actual name. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Good. Great. Okay, so that's background. Dan, I assume you've got yours handled. You got all your abilities and stuff copied over. Okay, perfect.
Copying it over.
Yeah, that's cool. So now we just level you up. I guess. So for, let me make sure I haven't missed anything, and then we'll talk about hit points and stuff. So let's see, character creation, because we're not doing any like gear buying right now. We'll just go straight to advancement. Let me make sure I don't miss anything here. You got proficiency bonus, your spell DCs, that'll all go up automatically. We got that math done. Equipment, weapons, bullshit, beyond first level. Okay, so you both start at 34,000 experience.
Okay. Okay.
Under your experience points.
34,000.
34,000. You'll pick your alignments, which again in this world is, I can resend you the doc, but it's fire, water, air, earth, or void. And I'll resend the kind of like what that means.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over. I'll grab that and I'll put it in Skype right now. Okay. Good. 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 And then let's talk about levels. So Max, you at first level as a druid will roll. If you want to roll, or you take the average, you can do this for every level as you go, right? You don't have to do it all at once. So at first level, you're going to get you're going to get 8 plus your constitution modifier. So you'll start with 8, 9, 10. You'll start with 11 hit points. So put that in as your HP maximum right now. And then we'll do levels. We'll do levels 2 and 3. So let's do those. I'm gonna make a note as we go, because if your con goes up, then we have to change stuff. But okay, so you have 11 hit points now. When you go to level 2, you either get 8 more hit points or a D8 plus 3.
Ugh. It's not worth. I feel like I'll just take the 8. I want to roll, okay. But it's like it's just right. 3.
No, that's fine. So at that level, so you're at 19 for your total hit points. Okay, same question for level 3.
It's always the same. It's just 8 plus 3.
It's for right now. Yeah, it's 8 or a D8 plus 3.
I'm going to take another 8. I don't fuck around with hit points like
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. You're, what, 20, 27, I think?
Yes.
19 plus 8. Yeah, 27. Okay. All right. So at level 2, you gain wild shape, which I put in already for you. You'll also gain your next ability. You'll start down your Circle of the Land. So Circle of the Land gives you, you're gonna have to pick where you are from. So let me pull that up. Dan, what are you doing for your first level? So you get warlock at first level hit points.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get your bard ones for the next like 3 levels, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Here we go. Circle of the Lands. Okay.
HP, Dan?
So let me see here. Circle of the Land, and that's druid level 2. There you go. Okay, so you get a bonus cantrip, one additional druid cantrip of your choice. So when you go to pick your cantrips, you'll get that. Don't forget. So you'll have one more higher. I'm putting all this stuff down in your character sheet for you, so you'll be able to see that at level 2. You're also going to get natural recovery, which means you can recover some of your spells during a short rest, so you don't always have to wait for a long rest to get spells back, which is really nice. The one thing about being a spellcaster is you'll have all these extra things to manage, and that's natural recovery is druid too. Okay. All right, and then now you got to choose. So when you hit third level, you get circle spells, and those are where you are from. So you're going to choose Arctic, coast, desert, forest, grassland, mountain, swamp, or Underdark. And these are all on the like circle spells part of the like druid page. But do you have a thought as to which one you want to be?
Moving to it right now. I had that page open and I know.
Yeah, it's okay.
You don't happen to know what page it's on, do you?
No, I'm looking at it in the PHB on Roll 20, so I don't have it up.
Gotcha. Say them again real quick.
Yeah, sure. So your options are Arctic, coast, desert, forest, grassland, mountain, swamp, or Underdark.
I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense to go from like forest or grasslands.
I mean, you can be from anywhere you want.
Considering, yeah.
The forest, I mean, you're a forest gnome, but the forest gnomes had a great tragedy happen to them when the rock gnomes attacked, and they were scattered throughout the world. So you could have been born somewhere else. Or like,
yeah, this determines the different spells that I use, right? The circle spells?
Yeah.
I'm looking at them right now.
Anytime I think about Sean's rock gnome theory, or not theory, but I guess lore, I imagine like a Blizzard cinematic playing of just people getting mutilated and destroyed.
Yeah, running
around. And then it cutting to like a gnome and it going, it's the Rock Gnome King! And then there's like a giant guy slowly walking forward.
Yeah, big robot.
Yeah, that just plays in my head anytime I think of that shit.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, so yeah, what do you think? And if you have, I can tell you the spells for some of them if you want.
Yeah, I have them in front of me right now. I'm looking
at
them.
Yeah, you got it? Okay.
I'm kind of liking the grassland one for the sake of invisibility and pass without trace.
Yeah, yeah, those are cool.
It's pretty sick. But the rest of them, though, are not very like damage dealing or anything like that.
Yeah, no, they're meant to be like a druid is a lot more like circumstantial magic rather than just like I throw fireballs at it till it dies.
Well, this one's lightning bolt in mountain. Lightning bolt. Yeah.
Nailed it to stone.
Okay. You know what? Yeah, let's go grassland. Because these are kind grassland? Of like utility spells, and I'm going to have other spells that I can draw from. So I think invisibility and pass without trace would make sense, especially since, you know, hermit.
Okay. Boop. There you go. All right. I added those to your sheet for you. All right. So that's at level 3. At level 4. You can choose either to increase a stat, right? Increase one of your stats, or you can take a feat, which complicates things further.
Ooh.
So you'll get to do this again.
I can take a feat or what?
You'll get to do this again at level 8. You can take a feat, or you can increase your stats. So at level 4, what is it? It's two points to a stat, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you can go 1-on-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Feats tend to be stuff that let you like bend the rules in particular.
There's
like,
not very many beneficial feats for druids, Max. And since you have 2 17s, you could go 1-on-1 to bump that up to be a +4.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
That's true. All right. Yeah.
I've made that. A lot of characters, ladies and gentlemen.
Fine with me. No, that's fine with me. Okay. I'd draw upon that knowledge rather than having to go through all the feats myself. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's a couple, but it's.
All right, yeah. I mean, that sounds good. So make your wisdom 18 and your dexterity 19, I guess.
19.
That'll auto-adjust everything on your sheet for you. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so that's at level 4. At level 4, do you want to roll or take more hit points?
This is the same thing?
Yeah, 8 or d8 plus 3.
I'm going to be boring. I'm going to go with the 8. For me, it's never worth the extra 3 HP.
Okay. All right, so 27, 35. That's now your level 4. Dan, are you taking a feat or a stat increase at level 4?
I'll take the stat increase and put them in charisma.
Nice. +2. Yeah, because your stats, you're going to put 2 in and try to push up. Okay, that's cool. All right. And then when you choose your subclass of bard, what do you get for College of the Sword? Like, what's the... like a bunch of like flexibility, right, around like what you can do.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. That's a couple of cool things. Let me go back up to it. College of Swords. So I gain proficiency, which I already have. And then I get a fighting style, so I can have dueling. Or
two, yeah, so you're going to go dueling. Are you going to do dueling or two weapons? Dueling. Okay, yeah, so dueling. When wielding a melee weapon with one hand and no other weapons, plus two bonus to damage.
Yep.
Nice. Okay.
And then Blade Flourish, where I can spend my Bardic Inspiration dice. Instead of inspiring someone, I can do a flourish. Nice. When I hit someone with an attack, where defensive flourish is like spend one of your Bardic Inspiration dice to cause extra damage, and then whatever I rolled, it's added to my AC for until my next
turn.
That's
so cool.
Yeah.
I love that shit. That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. And then slashing, is this with extra damage?
Yeah, it's an extra damage and added AC, and then slashing where I can do extra damage and then also hit a creature next to them if they're within 5 feet. So I can
hit two targets. Yeah, yeah.
And then one where I can hit someone and then I am able to move away from them. I get an extra 10 feet of movement.
Right. That's cool. Yeah. So the weapon damage, you can also push them 5 feet plus a number of feet equal to the number you roll, and then immediately use your reaction to move your walking speed. That's awesome. So you like smash them away and then go somewhere else, or you can damage them or make it harder for them to hit you. It's very cool. Yeah, so I like it.
Someone badass is like on my ass. I can push them back and then run away behind someone else.
Nice. Excellent. Okay, great. So then the next thing to kind of go for is, so Max, are you just going to take like, oh, he's gone. Bye, Max. So have you been, I assume you're just taking the average for all your hit points. You're not going to roll any of them.
I'm going to do half and half. So half
nice.
Rolling.
Okay.
Half.
Okay. All right. Do you want to just roll them then?
Sure.
Okay. So at level one, you get how much?
It's all D8s.
Oh, it's D8 for both? Okay.
Yeah.
So you get 5 plus your constitution bonus at first level, or 8 plus your con bonus at first level?
So it's the hit die, so 8 plus con, so 9.
Okay, so you start at 9, and then you have 7 more levels, so you're going to get 3 more. Is it going to be 3 rolls and 4 autos, or is it going to be?
I'll do 3 autos, so that'll be 21.
So it brings it up to 29.
30, then I'll roll the last 4.
Okay, so go for it.
4d8 plus
4. Come on, big numbers.
Not bad. You know, pretty average.
About the same.
Is that actually the same? Yeah, what would you...
I think
5
10,
plus 4?
20, 21.
What? No, the average...
It would have been...
Average just
would have been 6 times 4, so 24. So it would be 20. So it's 3 off. I'm 3 lower than I would have been.
Okay,
it's fine.
There you go. All right, and then Max, you're just gonna take the 8 for 4 more levels.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's another 32. So you're at 67 for your total hit points.
Yeah. Okay. And did you roll?
Good shit. Dan rolled half and kept half. So now the other question is feats at 8th level. Are either you going to take feats or are you going to do another stat boost?
I'm going to be one off from... I have to level one more time since I'm multi-classing to get my other
increase.
Correct.
Yes, so that's right. You get your feat at 9. That's right. Yeah. What do you think, Max? Do you want to do another stat boost? Because, there are some good feats, but I don't think any of them... Maybe Warcaster, but probably stats. Okay, so you got 2 more points.
You could raise one of those 18s to 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
get a plus max 5.
Out wisdom if you're going.
You could be as wise as Ramus Krill.
That's true. Yeah. You could have 20 wisdom.
You could hold up that Krill standard if you want to be 20.
Yeah, I'm gonna put both wisdom. In wisdom so I get 20.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You said that. I mean, it's important for me, and you know what I'm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all your spellcasting shit, so perfect. Mm-hmm. Your passive perception's 18. You got all that good stuff going on. Perfect. Okay, so as a druid, as a Circle of the Land druid, the other shit that you'll get as you level up is some additional spells. You get, I've already added the list, so now you have up to freedom of movement and divination and haste. Haste is fucking awesome, by the way. Haste on Dan is going to make him like a whirlwind of murder. So many swords because he gets an extra attack already, so it's just going to be like chopping people to shit.
Yeah, how many attacks get, Dan, if he hasted you?
Yeah, and also I could cast a spell and then double attack if I wanted to.
Hell yeah, you could.
Yeah.
So let's see. It's your mystical connection to the land. Okay, you get land stride. So land stride is passing through non-magical terrain costs you no non-magical difficult terrain costs you no extra movement. So when I say to you, "Oh, this is difficult terrain,"
difficult terrain, like, just ignore it.
I don't care. So that's
actually
cool.
Was looking at that.
Yeah, land stride, and then you get. Let's see.
So I mean, I spent my life in the forest, man. I'm talking difficult terrain's my shit.
Yeah, difficult for you, maybe. You're like the Suzuki 4x4 of characters. And you get that at 6th level, I think. Okay, good. There's land stride. And then I think there's like some generic druid type shit that you get. Let me look. So that was a 6th level ability. Mainly you get spells. Like as a land druid, you just get more and more spells to do cool things with. And the internet will tell you all the good ones. Don't you worry. Mm-hmm. Especially in the first episode where you cast all the wrong ones.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Actually, you get you get your wild shape improvement at 8. So that means you can turn into bigger, cooler stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. At 8. Yeah. So at 8, your max CR is 1. So for example, like a giant eagle or whatever. So I'll make a note of that under your wild shape. Even though wild shape, like, it has an enormous block. I'll put it at the top. So if you have to look at it, it's just like right in there. Okay. So max challenge rating 1. Cool. So yeah, take a look through the player's handbook when you're picking your spells, or take a look through the monster manual and like look at some of the animals and see what stuff is CR 1 or lower. And you can turn into that shit. Good. Great. Cool. You have a number of wild shapes equal to...
You can do a decent amount at that level.
I think so, yeah. You can use this... Oh, you can use this feature twice. It doesn't go up because he's not a moon druid.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So you get to... I added that as a resource. Cool. All right. Good. So that's... I think that's it for that. Dan, what do you get as you level up? Because you're a level 1 and 7. What's your level 6 ability for Choppy Bard?
Let's see. It is extra attack. I get the attack twice.
That's right. Yeah.
I get that 6 instead of 5.
Yeah.
Nice. That's fucking cool. I'm gonna read the whole class. Both of your new weird classes. I'm so excited. Okay, good. So now all you guys need to do is like your homework, basically. So bard spells for Dan. Max, you will need to pick your cantrips. So I believe you get 4 plus an additional cantrip because of your circle of land. So you're gonna pick your cantrips. You can just drag and drop them from the thing into the from the compendium into your character sheet. Same with gear. How do druid, JP, how do druid spells work? You have slots and you prepare them? Or is it just you can cast any 4 spells or whatever?
I don't remember.
Okay, I'll look it up.
My last druid lived an hour, Adam, so I couldn't really tell you. You know?
You had a druid that lasted longer than that. Yeah, and he got his neck stepped on.
He was just in animal form the entire time.
All right, pretty much, so yeah. Let's see. I think the last druid we had on the show was Ken's druid. Right? Yeah. Okay, so let's see, spellcasting, druids, how do they work? See the general rules of spellcasting in the druid list. Here we go. It shows how many spell slots you have. You prepare spells. Okay, all right. So you prepare the list of druid spells available for you to cast, choosing from your spell list. You choose a number of spells equal to your wisdom modifier. This is all going to be on your sheet. And you prepare them in advance. So you do have to pick
at the start of every day
the spells. Yeah, your list of prepared spells can include a certain combination of spells according to the spell list. And you can change them whenever you do a long rest.
Do you get level 4 spells?
He does, yes. Yeah, he's a big, big boy spellcaster.
You get some fun spells, Max.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Polymorph. Polymorph's mm-hmm. fun.
You turn other yeah. people into things like other ducks. People into,
yep.
Yeah.
You're a sheep now.
Yep. Giant insect is really fun, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all kinds of good shit. You do, even though you didn't take the like specific circle for it, you can still summon and stuff too, which is really fun.
Yeah, this is how annoying you could have been. With giant insect, you can summon 10 centipedes that become giant centipedes. So then you're in control of, we would have to sit there and, all right, the eighth centipede rolls and he misses. And the ninth centipede.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, takes an otherwise normal fight and turns into a very slow one. But yeah. Summoning is pretty fun. It's cool to like increase your action economy by external forces.
Yeah. Is level 9 fifth level spells?
I believe so.
Is that right, Dan?
I can't.
Does that make sense?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
But... I think it's 9 that you okay. get your first
it's
fifth level.
Yeah, it is 9. It's like half minus 1 or whatever.
Okay.
Okay, great. Good. So let's talk about gear and shit, because you want to buy armor and weapons and stuff. Let me find, there's a table that shows like intermediate characters, but I think it's like 500 plus something. Let me look. Dungeons and Dragons. Where's my thing here? All right. So it'll be a number, and then you'll get two items. And I think it's 500 plus 2d6 times 100 or something. Let me see if I can find it. Starting at a higher level. Here we go. Okay. So you start with 500 gold plus 1d10 times 25 gold. So you can both, if you want, roll a d10.
Yeah, this is for both of us. Start with 500 gold times.
Yeah, you get 5. Well, you get 500. Then you get another 1d10 times 25. Okay, so Daniel, you get another 200. So you have 700 to start with.
Wait, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you can multiply it with a little star there. Okay, so you get another 175 max.
Cool.
So you use that to buy starting gear. So you can buy armor and whatever you need, ammo and weapons and stuff. You will also get your normal starting equipment. So with this table, you actually do get your starting equipment. So anything that you have, either you can get more gold or you can get from your background. Both of those will give you some additional stuff. So make sure you pick that up if you want it. If you don't want it, don't bother putting it on your sheet. And then both of you can have one uncommon magic item and one common magic item, so like a potion and something else. And I will send you a link. There's a list to a 5e D&D magic item like listing that shows all of them by rarity, which is incredible.
One uncommon item and then what?
Yeah, one common and one uncommon item. Okay. So for example, the common items are mostly potions. There are a few, like Xanathar has a few like kind of special ones that are like Armor of Gleaming or Shield of Expression. But for the most part, yeah, they're like potions or like other little fun items. And then the uncommon ones tend to be like more proper magic items, like a plus one shield, a plus one weapon, Stone of Good Luck, etc. Again, feel free to turn to the internet. You could ask if you wanted to. If you guys wanted, you could always start a thread on the community and be like, hey, if you watch the Patreon video, what armor should I get? What magic items are good for this type of character? You get the community involved. If you don't want to have to like do all of the shopping yourself, or you want to let them help you out, mm-hmm. that would be a cool way to do that.
I already know which uncommon I know you a plus one rapier.
Hell yeah. So we'll come up with like a cool like background for your weapon, because like with every magic, especially like weapons and armor in the game, it'll have a name. If you want to come up with a name and a history for it, you can, or you can let me do it. And this is totally like gifted to you by the dark creature in your family history, right? Like some heroes have their father's sword, and you're like, yo, my father's sword is like a badass demon rapier. So yeah, that's super cool. What are the rules for
pop heads off real quick with that?
Because you like for the Hexblade, you can incorporate your power into another magic item, right? Like it's part of attunement.
yeah, like you spend a long short rest, and then you can empower that weapon to be your hexblade weapon.
Nice.
You can switch it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because that's always the weird thing when you play, like, there's some classes where you're like, you get a magic sword that's part of your class. And you're like, yeah, but I just got this +5 sword and it's way better. And they're like, too bad. You have to use one or the other. That's cool. You can incorporate your hexblade. Cool. So your hexblade is right now a +1 rapier of cool shadow power. Nice. Good. Cool. All right. That's it. I mean, you have homework, but that's all the stuff that, like, that's enough to get started.
Cool. Yeah, as far as I can tell, I'm going to recap. I actually have a doc that says Court of Swords homework. I got to pick cantrips plus the additional one that I get. And then
yes, pick your cantrips.
Buy gear with the 675 gold that I got. And then I get normal starting equipment from, you know, like my background and all that stuff. Figure out those things if I want them.
Yep.
And then one uncommon item and one common item that I have to pick. Is that right?
And choose your alignment.
Choose alignment.
Yep.
I'll have 2 warlock spell slots and then 7 of the normal bard slots. So I got to keep that 1 warlock
separate. Yeah, right. Mix and match. Plus you have your spells, your natural spells
and my natural racial stuff. Yeah.
Thankfully, those cast off your charisma. So
yeah,
it's not you don't have to juggle 3 different spellcasting modifiers. Wicked. You guys have any, I mean, obviously for story stuff, like reach out to Zeke and JP and me if you have ideas or thoughts that you want to like pull in. If you have a question. And then I will go with, I'll start prepping with what I have from JP, and then you can let me know how you fit into that in that the first episode that we do back will be like the kind of intro to the new characters, intro to the storyline. Here's kind of what's going on, and I'll start with what I have from JP. I'll do a thing.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, there we go. We got some characters. I'm excited. Yeah, we don't know exactly when we're gonna play. I know next week is off, because Max is going to
Gamescom.
Germany. Is that where?
Yes. Cologne. Going to Germany.
Still in the same place. Yeah. Okay. Oh. Yeah.
Nice, man.
And then maybe the 28th, but maybe we'll start kind of go with what maybe Adam will go with what we had already planned, and then do the next week where he meets up with us or something. I don't know. We'll see how we feel about it and talk about it off stream and let you guys know.
Okay.
We've got 2 weeks till we got to decide anyways.
Yeah, so we got some time to figure it out.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for all your support, patrons, and we'll see you on the next episode of Court of Swords as soon as we can. We're out.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.